Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And welcome along to the show. It's your Monday diet of chaos with Aldo and Sharpie, who are in tonight on a magnificent evening right across Merseyside, northwest and North Wales. The views are incredible. Yeah, Sharpie's nice looking forward to this big show.
Sharpie's got a big crash helmet ready to go on his head now.
the big old tin hat. good evening. I'm Steve Hothersall. These boys want to talk to you. 0151 4720 967. How would you sum up your weekends? How was yours, John?
Good, yeah. Really enjoyed it. Off. Had nothing on. It was really good. Yeah, surprised the way the game went yesterday, I have to say. First time ever in history, Liverpool, they've come back with 10 men to win a game when they were getting beat at the time. That's in the history of the club, which is quite amazing, to be quite honest. But they showed a lot of character, you know, and they finished the stronger of the two teams, which was... it was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was I didn't expect it, but I enjoyed the way the game
That's
went.
Good stat. Did you come up with that one?
No, I found out. I do my own work every now and again, Steve. You know what I mean?
It's a very good stat, by the way, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually incredible to believe that's just very first time that's happened.
Ever, yeah.
Not just the Premier League, is it? It's
ever since, you know, they've won with 10 men, but they were drawn at the time once when St John scored. But to come from behind and win with 10 men is the first time ever.
Very good, Sharpie. How was your weekend?
Miserable. Absolutely miserable. Nah, it was flat, to tell you the truth. No, played really well. 2-0, cruising.
They did play really well. I watched the game. They played really well up till 2-0,
cruising. Then, you know, Ron misses a penalty. Sending off, then Ron misses a penalty. 3-0, the game's over. But again, like... cannot defend the way we defend. It's criminal, and it's cost us 3 points again in a game we had in total control. Sending off was daft. The first one, I thought the referee was wrong. I don't think he should have been yellow carded. The second one, no argument with that whatsoever. But I'm not into blaming the referee. Yeah, he had that decision wrong, fair enough, but we've got to do better than 2-0 up and losing that.
It was a bad penalty.
Okay, that kills it in the game. Yeah. But 12 minutes to go, you're down to 10 men, you're 2-0 up. See the game out. Mm-hmm. See the game out. Be professional in getting men behind the ball and say, right, that's it. What we've got, we're keeping. We ain't giving anything up. 2-1 goes in, nerves go.
Yeah.
But again, you look at our goals. And interestingly enough, I listened to the boy Antonio, who scored one of the goals. He was talking on Sunday on Sky, and he just said that, you know, what did your manager tell you to do? Get the ball in the box, because Everton can't defend crosses. And he's spot on. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at that. Any team playing against Everton, I would say to them, get the ball in the box, and you'll score. And They've done it three times. They're good at that, aren't they? That's one of their fortes, isn't it? But in general, we did well. Our deliveries were good from set pieces, everything else. But you can't give up.
Do you think, I watched the game, do you think, when I seen Lennon, who thought done really well, come off, I thought, as a West Ham player, I'd have thought, oh, I'm glad he's gone off. You know, can push on a little bit further now, because he's been stretching us, took his goal brilliantly. Mm. Brilliant goal the way he worked it. And I think that perked him up a little bit, you know, and gave him the license to go forward a little bit more, didn't he?
Yeah, it's a good point. Although I think a lot of talk afterwards, they couldn't understand the substitution. You know, the manager's come out and said that he was tired, he was blown for tugs. Whether he was or not, we don't know. That's his decision. But they brought on the boy Nias, the new signing, who looked miles off it.
Which
is a worry. But even at 2-1, you still think to yourself, right, come on, we've got this, we're seeing this out, but the goals are just poor goals to concede again. So that was really, really disappointing. you know, from being in another position, where it should easily went home with three points.
Well, it's another one, isn't it? They've got a bit of a soft underbelly, haven't they, Everton? We're talking Bournemouth this season, we're talking Stoke, we're talking this game as well. It's happened quite a lot, hasn't it?
It's not having announced to see games out. You know what? And listen, people will blame the manager, and I've said this all along, and blame the manager, and he deserves some of the blame. But if you're a player in that team, you're getting on to your teammates to come on. We're like 10 minutes away from 3 points in the Premier League, moving up, keep us in touch with the top. You have a desire and a passion not to concede, throw bodies in front of the ball. But the goals we concede are so soft.
They've got to stop the balls.
Yeah, so soft.
And I think the modern day football, you see them, they're scared to get it with these balls. Oh. And these balls are lies. We get it with the balls that we played with. I'm not being funny, with water in them. You knew you got smacked with the ball. But now you get it with these. It's like the Plazzies we used to play with years ago, you know what I mean? It's not nonsense. And, going from Evans to Liverpool point of view, you look at what Firmino did for their first goal. You put your body on the line there. He's made the mistake. He's gone out to the edge of the box. And Ledley's there. You throw everything in front of him. Whatever the hits, he hits. And you get hit because you made a mistake. He jumped out the way. Mm. And that's, you know, and that's a criminal. And when you want to stop the cut, when you know a team's got Andy Carroll and big players up front, big, strong, physical players, and you've got to stop the crosses. You've just got to stop whatever. It's not rocket science. Get close to them and stop the crosses.
It's like everybody knowing their job. For me, I don't know how football's changed that much, but if I'm a right back or a left back, what's your job? Your job is to stop the person who's in the competition with you, their winger.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you mean stop the crosses coming in the box. Wingers are told to get to the line, get the ball in the box or whatever, or get balls delivery in the box. As a fullback, your job as a wide player is to stop the opposition putting the ball in the box. But I'd love to know the amount of goals that we have conceded from crosses. You talked about the Bournemouth game. Bournemouth games with balls in the box and headers and shots. But surely, goodness, you've got to say, right, okay, surely I'm not the only one that's seen that, or surely somebody's seen that and seen, like, run down of our goals. How many have we conceded? Oh, God, we've conceded that. How do we concede that? What's from a course again? And then you would go and say, right, okay, we've got to work harder. But we don't.
I'm sure I've seen a stat that said we were down there, Everton were down there, and Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were the one. I'm sure I've seen a stat. So they were the three teams.
And teams are coming up and saying, well, how do you get the ball wide and get the ball in the box?
Well, it's common knowledge now, isn't it? That makes it even worse.
Well, it's common knowledge since about 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago.
All the scouts talk to each other. You see them in the game, they talk about teams' frailties, and they give the tactics away sometimes because they talk, put the ball in the box about him, he's all over them. Mm. You know, they're working for one club, but they're giving another club their information, and they see it, and they're all onto it. All the managers know the score. Mm. There's a dossier in every team. You know, how they concede goals. It's there in black and white. You know, you've got all these scientific people with all these drawings that they do, and it's there. It's in black and white.
So Everton played three at the back, didn't they?
Well, to be fair, he changed it. Yeah, you know, he changed it from the beginning. They played three at the back.
So what's all that about? Just accommodating John Stones, or actually?
No, accommodating the way they play. They matched what West Ham did. Which was fair play to the manager.
It worked really well.
Got ahead. Then he made the change at half time. Stones off, Besic on. We're down to 10 men, you know, which hasn't helped us. But take away the last 12 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever it was, and everybody would have walked out of that ground happy. We'd have walked out happy. You know, even if it was a 1-1 draw or whatever, they'd have walked out because the way they played was excellent. But ask everybody walking out of Goodison what they thought. He was under extreme pressure, the manager, and as John said about his substitution, a lot of them were talking about that. Now, listen, sometimes managers make changes and it's, wonder what, he's a genius. Sometimes it works for you, sometimes it doesn't. But a lot of them were speaking about the substitution. They should have done this differently. But hey-ho, it's over.
Okay, first caller, let's see what he's talking about. It's Gary, who's an Everton fan in Kirby. Hi, Gary.
All right, mate, you're right.
No, Gary.
What's on your mind?
I think Sharpie's foot's on it mainly, but it's the game management side of Martinez and sort of make-up game. You know, 12 minutes ago, you're 2-0 up, you know. Your game management has got to be, you know, take the steam out the game, slow it right down, kill it, you know. But this is what his Achilles heel is. This is what he's not good at. And I think that's kicked us, you know, right in the backside, yeah. Down on Saturday 2-0. Even with 10 men, you think, you know what? And we still 2-0 up.
Mm.
You know, and I think that's what Martinez has really got to look at, is in his game sort of management, life, at times, opportunities, situations, you know, and play the game according to the situation. Mm. That's what we struggle with, Graham.
Gary, I thought that, you know, the Nias substitution, for me, from winning the game, and as you said before, looking at it and trying to close it down, we then go to playing two up front.
Yeah.
With Rom and Nias, and I'm thinking, and as John said before, you just hand the initiative to West Ham and say, well, go forward then. Lennon was at least going in that left-hand side, doing a little bit defensively and giving us a threat. And then we change it as if we're down to 10 men, but I tell you what, we'll change it. Instead of playing one up front, we'll play two up front. And you just thought, oh, I'm not sure about that. But I still think, Gary, that players have got to take responsibility. Now, if you're on that pitch there and you're seeing the way the game's going and we're 2-0 and we've got 12 minutes to go, you make sure you say to your teammates, hey, you ain't going any forward. You're coming in here. You're making it tight. Let them play in front of you. And I don't think we've got enough of that. I don't think we've got enough people who will take hold of the match and say, this is what we're doing. Immaterial, this is what we've got. We're holding on to this. I think we're too nice.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that needs looking at. I mean, you look at the situation yesterday with the Liverpool game, you know, Liverpool 1-1. You know, he takes Flanagan off and he puts an attack on there, and they've still only got 10 men, but Liverpool end up on the attack. But it's about, all I'm saying is, it's about his game management, and this has happened to us nearly all the season in them situations. I mean, we're, what, 12th in the league? You look at the teams above us, you've got Stoke above us, Southampton above us. You know, these teams should be nowhere near us with the squad that we've got. We've got the best squad now since you were playing the 80s. Yeah. I think, looking on paper now, we've got the best squad, without a doubt, and we're not capitalising or closing games out when we need to be.
Nope.
You know, I think we're 10 points probably short in what we should
spot
be.
On.
I agree with you. I actually think perhaps you've got a lack of leadership on the pitch as well, because when you get in them situations, which Everton have been in a lot of games, you know, I'm just going back to our day. You'd have someone shouting, get back in there. You get back in now. Do your job, you know, and taking the pressure away from the manager. And I've seen Liverpool do that many times. And from what I've seen the other day at Goodison Park, there's a severe lack of leadership on the park to tell the fullbacks to get in and dig deep. And especially when they get the first goal. You know, it's 2-1, it's game on. You know, that's when you know you've got to knuckle down and make sure you don't get any more crosses in. But no one did it. No one said nothing. And they just let it go on.
Gary, very quickly, to tell me, you've probably seen it more than me, but the third goal, for me, it's a ball from very near the halfway line from Cress, went in the head of Andy Carroll, hits it on. Our last defender trying to get back is Mo Besic.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, hold on a minute. Where's Seamus?
Yeah, you know, why aren't they all tucking in?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, hold on, man, that's one long ball from... We're all... Surely to goodness, you know, your right-sided fullback's got to come in as well, and you've got to be as a back four, but we looked all over the place, and I'm thinking, how easy is that to score against us?
But with 10 men, Chubby, with 10 men, that's the first and foremost. You don't chase the game.
No.
You know, your back four stays there and you let the rest do it on the counter attack. You 2-0 up 15 minutes ago, whatever it is. Mm. Just sit and do your job. Yeah. Don't let anything go behind, especially with the wingers that they've got.
Even the crosses that were coming in, they wasn't getting close enough to stop them coming in.
We just torn off that carrier.
They were 10 yards off, saying, go on, bang it in, I'll just hold the space. You get right up on them.
Yeah.
And you're 2 yards away.
But Gary, you know, just before you might have heard, we were just talking about that. Now, you know, as a defender, if you get it when you're, and you don't really get it with these balls, but if you get it when you're 5 or 6 yards away in the kisser, it hurts a little bit, it stings. But if you get hit when you're 2 yards away, you don't feel a thing. Did you not know that the fullbacks get closer and it won't hurt you? Turn your back on it. You hate seeing fullbacks turn the bloody back on the ball. You hate to get it in your gob and you're doing your job.
Just before the goal, I think I came on, I spoke to you a few weeks ago, and we were looking at games that we should have won, should have got a... Why hasn't he got a defensive coach in and looked at this, I said, this Christmas time when we were struggling a little bit? Get a defensive coach in.
No disrespect here. you shouldn't need a defensive coach. You should. You've got a manager and you've got a first team coach, and then you've got another coach, whatever. They should be able. It doesn't necessarily have to be a defensive coach. You don't need a defence. I've never been a defender in my life, but I know when I'm watching them, they need to get closer to the ball. So I think this big hype. Even though they've got a goalkeeping coach now, and then they have teams have striking coaches and everything else. I think influence from maybe, but not necessarily a defensive coach. I think the coaches who they've got there should be able to see what the problem is without actually being a defender. I know Graham Jones was a forward and Duncan's obviously a forward. But they must be able to see, you know, where the frailties are as well.
Gary, nice one. Thanks very much for your call. We're going to have to move it on there. Just before we get to the break. John, we haven't touched on Benteke and the penalty yesterday yet. Penalty for you or not? Sharpie says adamantly, not a chance. In a million light years, he's not having it.
Yeah, penalty for you? For me.
Because, go on, explain your reasoning.
I think... I'll try and put it in perspective when I was a striker. If you get a 50-50 ball or a 50-50, 45 ball in your favour, and you see a defender naively coming into your hand on the box, you know you can delay that 5% and get a touch on it and let him take it. If he wants to take it in the box, you take the knock and you get the penalty.
So because his leg's outstretched,
yeah,
you're saying
that's
the penalty.
Yeah, if you want to do that, let him do it. Take the penalty. And I think that's what's happened. Benteke has got a slight touch. We all see it, knocked him off. But it was a stupid, rash challenge.
Stupid challenge.
Divvy.
I can't believe
divvy.
He's admitted to there is he's dived to win penalties for his team. I think that's scandalous.
I got hit. I actually got caught. I used to be canny, let them get by me. Just get the ball. So if they're going to contact me, I'm going to take it and go down. You know, as long as if you go down without getting hit, now that's cheating blatantly. But if you want to, you know, put one over.
As Benteke did yesterday.
He didn't. Tell you what, he should have got sent off. He's last man as well.
People have unfairly put their legs in front of John Aldridge before. Quickly, here's the clue. Look who's scoring. Part one. Dear. We've widened it. It's not red or blue today. We've widened it. Carlos is the producer today. This man won a league title, an FA Cup, and a League Cup in his time in England. League title, FA Cup, and League Cup in his time in England. He scored 35 goals in 70 games for his country. Got a little clip which we'll play after this break. But he got 35 goals in 70 games. You'll both know him very well.
He's either red or blue, is he?
No, he's from another team. But he's very famous. We just thought we'd make it a bit more accessible, this competition.
Oh, that's really narrowed it down, isn't it?
If you want to... you want to get involved? 0151 4720967 4720967. Benteke, was it a penalty? Tell John. Tell Sharpie.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 4720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 6:53, welcome to the Legends. Now, today marks a goal by a certain man who played in blue. Landon Donovan's goal in Everton's 5-1 win over Hull at Goodison on this day in 2010. It was his farewell appearance before going back to the MLS.
Baines with the throw. Arteta gives it back to Baines. Into Pienaar. Back to Baines. First time ball into the box. It'll fall for Donovan.
Yes!
Who signs off at Goodison in some style by wrapping one home on the half volley. Landon Donovan celebrates the fans in the Gladys Street on as a substitute, and if that is to be his farewell goal, well, what a way to sign off. A superb finish to secure all 3 points for Everton against Hull City.
Big Landon Donovan, the MLS has just kicked off again, hasn't it, this week? Mm-hmm. If I mean, you were watching it in the newsroom, Sharpie.
Yeah, they got the Galaxy one, didn't they? 4-1, Steven Gerrard played.
Yeah, Robbie Keane scored there. Have you watched a bit of MLS, John?
Not really. No. I watched the highlights of them, obviously, with Robbie Keane and Steve Gerrard, but no real interest as yet. It's not gotten to me that much.
Galaxy actually went out of their Champions League last week. They got beaten by a Mexican side, the CONCACAF trophy or whatever they call it. You've been guessing off-air as to this player. So here we go. Look who's scoring. This man won one league title, one FA Cup, one League Cup in his time in England. Scored 35 goals in 70 games for his country. Do you want to hear a little clue? This is a vocal clue for him. So get the headphones on here. You can shout out if you think you've got it right. Okay.
We have to look at ourselves. At our team, at our improvements.
Slow, isn't it?
That's the only way we can.
Yeah, this just slowed down.
I think it's a Dalek, isn't it?
them doing so well.
I think that's giving you enough of a clue.
That we can do well as well.
Right, there you go. You've had a little bit of a clue. Who did you think that was? Right, this guy played for one English club and he scored 150 goals for this club.
Thierry Henry.
Thierry Henry? No, that's wrong. What about you, John?
Well, I said Bergkamp, didn't I? I'd go for Dennis.
It's not Bergkamp.
No, no.
Go on, give you a couple more guesses.
Okay.
Won two La Liga titles.
Oh.
Two La Liga titles?
Oh, dear me. That's
Someone's actually got this. Someone rang in after the first clue, Terry. It was Neil who rang in and got it straight away off the first clue. I can't believe you're still stumbling on this. Right, before we go any further, because you're still racking your brains, we're going to speak to Graeme Stewart in a moment or two, because last week, if you listened to the Legends, you'll have heard that we actually launched the Kendall Paisley Cup. It's going to be played at West Lancs Golf Course, 29th of April, and it's a team of Reds legends against a team of Blues legends. So we've already had Robbie Fowler on the show last week, of course.
Gianluca Vialli.
Oh, no. Over the crossbar. John, what's going on with you?
I'm just having one of those off days, mate. I can't think.
Well, I want to tell you something, but I'm not allowed to. No. So you'll have heard us launch that with Robbie Fowler last week. So each show, we're going to try and get someone else on who's involved in this golf day. So we've had a Red on. So Graeme Stewart said he was going to come on and talk to us about what impact he's going to make for Sharpie's team. It is Sharpie's team. He's the captain, by all accounts. So we're going to talk to Graeme Stewart.
No pitch
him yet. Just before we get to Graeme Stewart, any more ideas? No? Any late guesses? No. Okay. Graeme, just have a guess in a minute. Right, get the headphones on, fellas. Let's have a chat with Graeme Stewart. Evening to you, Graeme.
Hi, Steve. How are you? All right, lads. Yeah. Old Oaks.
Hi, Graeme. All right.
Just interested to know why you've been picked on the Blues Legends team. Yeah, you told me.
No, he's up for selection. I'm not sure yet. All depends if he can get his handicap up a little bit, Diamond.
I can easily make that happen, trust me. I haven't picked up a club for about 3 months, Sharpie. Oh. Not like you, the regular Friday morning player.
Hey, let me tell you, every time I speak to your handicap is I haven't played for a while. It's still on 9. But I'm gladly, Diamond, if you can go up to 14 or 15, I think you'll do well, mate.
Yeah, I think that's more realistic. Yeah. Put me down for 14.
14, all right, lads.
Well, you're our skipper, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So I've got to answer to you. I don't like that for a minute.
what sort of qualities do you expect, Graeme, from your skipper for this massively, you know, historic and prestigious cup?
Oh.
Well, like any Ryder Cup tournament, I mean, your captain's got to lead from the front, hasn't he? So I'd like to think he'll be stood on the first tee, sending us off straight away, straight down the middle. It's a difficult course, West Lancs, as well. Oof. So, you know, it's all about your captain taking you, you know, steering the ship. So I look forward to seeing Sharpie in action.
I don't know who my vice captain's going to be yet.
There's a role for Diamond here, then.
I saw a flyer that had me on it.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't perform in the morning, Sharpie, you'll be out, and I'll be steering the ship in the afternoon.
That sounds good, lad. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Diamond, who do you want to play in the singles? Because I've got Aldo here, yeah. To be fair, he's easy game if you draw.
No, no, Diamond. Let me tell you now, not off his handicap. He's one of those again.
Yeah, one of those dodgy. Another Liverpool bandit.
Yeah.
Well, go on. Give me a list. Give me a few names.
Go on, John. Throw some in the hat.
Robbie Fowler, Schmeisser,
McAllister,
Gary Max playing, Jason McAtee. Don't play with him because he's a nightmare batter. You know the score, don't you? Jason.
Kenny's playing as well. Kenny's in the sack. Redknapp. Jamie Redknapp.
Jamie's playing.
You don't want to be playing Kenny. You don't want to be playing Gary Max because they're decent. They're playing every other day, the pair of them.
Gary Gillespie.
They're all decent.
You don't want to be playing Gary
Diamond. Diamond, let me tell you that the one that you got to play is one that's off double figures, and there's not many of them.
Michael Owen.
Michael Owen's off single figures as well.
No, I think he went up two shots.
But Alder's only won it off double figures, and that's a lie.
Brilliant. Have it. Have it.
Come with me, man. I'll bring a few cans for you, pal.
Cans on the course. Just before you go, very quickly, the boys are racking their brains as to this look who's scoring diamonds.
It's not Ronaldo, is it?
See if you can tell us this. This man won one league title, one FA Cup, and one League Cup in his time in England. Scored 35 goals in 70 games for his country, played for one English club, and he scored 150 goals for the club.
It's Ronaldo.
And he won two La Liga titles.
Right.
Any
He's
ideas?
He's won more than one league at England.
I'm the worst trivia man in the world. You wouldn't want me on your pub team, I know that.
Or your golf team.
Oh, you're always in there. You've got to be good at that.
How dare you, Graham? How dare you?
A quick one, Diamond. Of course, Chelsea next weekend, FA Cup. How do you see that panning out with the Blues?
Well, all of a sudden, that's become a really difficult tie based on the fact that Chelsea... I mean, this is a Chelsea side that isn't the side that started the season so badly. You know, all of a sudden, they've got a really good run of form since Gus Hiddink's come in. Our home form hasn't been overly good, has it? So I think it's a really difficult tie, but we've got to make sure that Goodison Park is rocking, and we've got to start the game the way we did against West Ham. Because, you know, let's not, you know, ignore the fact that for the first 75 minutes of the game, we did very well. We managed the game pretty well, considering we were down to 10 men for such a long period of time. So a lot of positives to take from Saturday, but clearly we can't keep losing games of football at Goodison Park.
No. Season rests on this one, doesn't it? Big start.
No, it does now, because I think if we had any thoughts of getting into European football next season, we had to beat West Ham. So, yeah, pretty much, you know, in terms of any kind of success, we've got to be looking at Saturday as a huge game for us.
Graham Stewart, thank you very much. We paired you up with Aldo. Thanks a lot
for
your time there.
Cheers, mate.
Take care.
Do you fancy? Is that who you want to take on, John?
I don't mind. Golf. I don't mind as long as
Come on, you do mind.
I know all the lads. They're all good lads, so it doesn't matter who I play with. Just
a good
bit of fun, isn't it?
What? Yeah, but it's not with you, is it?
No, it is.
No. When you lose, you're a bad man.
I know who I'm going to pair with him.
Do you? Yes. Go on. He's just writing this one down. Right, okay, we're not saying that.
Van Nistelrooy.
Just before
I've said that before. I put it down there.
Where?
Look.
Oh, I've done you.
Look,
can I just say? Can I just say you said it off air during a break? You said it off air during a break.
I can't see anything.
He's pinched off that plate. Look, he put peanuts as a bake.
I tell you what,
then I put the horse's head there. Look.
Yeah, I know. And the other clues were he's got three Christian names. The first of which is Rutgerus.
You can't claim that one, Sharpie.
And he's also, he's also United's all-time European top scorer.
Yeah,
they had that early doors. That was after Bergkamp.
You can't be throwing out names while the break's
on. What Sharpie's been doing for the last 3 months.
Do you know what was even worse? Because Carlos working here, because he's not used to it. He'd actually put the clip here with his name across it, and I thought, John's going to see that straight away. Yeah, right. Just before we quickly get to a break, the bets from the weekend. Cool. Sum it up, Sharpie. You versus Dominic Matteo. You went for Sheffield Wednesday, Wigan and Portsmouth, and out of three you got...
One, I think. Did Wigan win?
No, it was a draw, 1-1.
And
Dom went for Cardiff, Southampton and Liverpool. And, of course, Liverpool and Cardiff both won. Southampton drew 1-1. Dom had the moral victory over you there. Youth over experience winning.
Yeah.
Yes, again, no more money in the pot. Right, we're going to take a short break. After that, we'll take some more of your calls. 0151-472-0967. It's the Radio City Legends.
Call now, 0151-472-0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the show. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Right, of course, on Thursday, Liverpool, Manchester United. To mark that, we thought we'd play a little bit of audio. The last time Liverpool beat Manchester United in a cup competition, Dirk Kuyt's winner, 2-1 victory in the FA Cup in January 2012. And Aldo got a little bit excited as normal.
Pepe Reina,
a bit like a testimonial game, hasn't it?
Make the clearance out into Liverpool's half. Header on by Carroll. This could be Carroll.
Yes!
The winner.
Yes!
Dirk Kuyt crashes one past De Gea, and United crash out of the FA Cup. The celebrations in front of the cup are all about Dirk Kuyt.
Colsey. Lance is at the watch. Forward ball.
Yes! Oh, you go, man, you!
Oh, dear me.
It's a shame I can't sit next to you while you shout out you go, man. You again.
You know what I'm like
week.
With Man United. It's always the juice you want. I like to win for a lot of reasons when I was young. We didn't expect that. I was just everyone went off our kicks, didn't we? Because the last minute looked like he was just going off for a replay. And next minute, you know, flick on, bang, back at net. Brilliant.
John was positively dressing them and taking them out of Anfield on that day. Right, just before we get through some more callers, right, let's talk to Neil, who got the look who's scoring right. So put your headphones on, fellas. He got this right off the very first clue when I said,
he never.
This man won one league title, one FA Cup, one league cup in his time in England. The answer, of course, was Ruud van Nistelrooy. Now, you two have hotly disputed that anyone can have such knowledge. Let's welcome Neil to the show. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Let me tell you, Aldo and I thought, yeah, well done, Steve.
No, they didn't.
Said right away, he's got that off Google.
Yeah.
That you absolutely panned
Neil. I was driving the car at the time, mate.
Steve, you're wrong.
Yeah,
he was driving the car.
You can't say that you were Googling in the car because you get done.
Yeah.
So come on, Neil. Tell us you pulled over on the side, mate, and you Googled
it. No, what I thought to myself, I was debating between Overmars and Van Nistelrooy. And only that I thought Overmars wouldn't have scored one in two for
Good shout, mate.
Well done.
Good shout.
Great stuff.
Did you have Overmars on your extensive list, John, that you were trying to wean out of me at the break?
No, but I want your number. I need your number, mate, just for the when we have these in future. Right? Just to give you a sly little text. You know.
Well done, Neil. That is absolutely fantastic knowledge. Yeah. I thought you were either a Liverpool or an Everton fan. You're a Tranmere fan, aren't you?
I am, yeah, for my sins, yeah.
Good results, yeah. Yeah, turned around a little bit. Yeah, it's not bad.
Should be a strong half. Last half of the season for us.
Well, it's funny because I was talking over there to Mark, and they put a training regime in last year that they're hoping with the scientific stuff it'll kick in the back end of the season. And I touch wood that whatever they're doing and whatever they've done is starting to work, you know. Mm.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Looks like a few of those fellas could do with a bit of extra training, though, don't you think?
There's a few in that league like that, aren't there?
Oh, aye, yeah.
What a do stand up.
Might take me boots one week, see if I can get a game.
Just before you go, Neil.
Did you get a prize for that?
Well, all I've got on my prize table at the moment is a Leon Osman book, a Rob Jones book, and 20 copies left of Paul Walsh's autobiography.
Leave it, mate. It's all right. The satisfaction is with
you. It's outrageous, Neil.
Brilliant.
Okay. Great to
Well done, Neil.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, let's get to our next caller. And where is our next caller? Carlos, our producer. Tell us, whereabouts is he based? Oh, let's welcome Richie. He's a Red. Where are you, Richie? In Wavertree, are you?
I'm not Wavertree, mate. I'm in New Zealand.
Oh, hi, Rich.
I hope you haven't reversed the charges.
I have done. I'm in Queenstown, New Zealand.
Mm. Oh, well done, mate.
What's happening
nice
there,
Richie?
Fantastic places, visiting family. Had a few earthquakes, 4.4, a little bit of an fright. The book said they're all right. Put it that way.
Oh, you're missing home, are you, Richie?
Give me about 3 weeks more and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
did you enjoy the game yesterday, Rich?
Yeah, we have to get up here about 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's dodgy, isn't it? But it's worth it. Definite pen, mate, wasn't it? Definite pen.
At first, to be honest with you, watching on the TV, it looked as if he'd gone down. You know, let's be honest, from a TV point of view. But once you get the close-up, you can see the contact at the back. And as you know, today's footballers, I'm sorry, try to contact. Whether it be a Liverpool player, Everton player, any Man player, they go down like a bag of shite.
Hang on, Richie. You might be in New Zealand, but you can't get away with that. Apologies for that. Richie, tone the language down. You might be 3,000 miles away, but you're
dying
not
to say that for ages, Richie.
You're not beyond having a finger wagged at you.
I know, yeah. But go back to it again. You know, my concern again is this Benteke business. Are we going to keep him? Is he going to do the job? Or is it just a waste of space? The second part, what's the script of Sturridge? Cramp. You know, I just don't know what's happening with Sturridge and with Benteke. I mean, on paperwork, there's, you know, two great players on their day. We would be doing the business. But I'm lost. And like everybody, I think, I'm lost about Sturridge and we're lost about Benteke.
Okay, hand that over to the boys.
Well, yeah, it shows, you know, when the manager's playing a Reezy, you know, in front of the two of them, it tells you a story. I think, obviously, Sturridge, you know, with the qualities he's got, he's kept him back for Thursday. He'll start Thursday, no doubt, with Coutinho. I'm pretty sure about that. But, hey, we just have to wait and see till at the end of the season what the manager's plans are regarding the two. You know, there's question marks, you know, regarding the both of them, really. We don't know.
Do you think the high-pressing game that Klopp wants suits Sturridge?
It doesn't suit Sturridge or Benteke.
No.
Because, with all due respect, they're not workaholics, are they? You know, and Reggie is... He's not as good as them two, in my opinion, you know, but he'll graft and he'll run, close the back four down. And that's the easiest part in football. And yes, Sharpie, what we have to do all the time. You lead from example at the front and you defend from the front. And we chase down full backs, centre-halves, all the time. The hardest part is putting the ball in the back of the net. And them two players, Benteke and Sturridge, are very, very, very good at that. And that's the most frustrating thing for me. The easiest part is to really work your socks off. Even if it's for only 60 minutes or 70 minutes, do it. Chase and rush and hurry and tackle and put your arms across people, head the balls. Just do that. You know, I don't know. It's not in their persona. I'm surprised at Benteke because when I seen him at Villa, when he comes to Liverpool away, I thought, happy days. Yeah. But this manager wants a little bit more than just scoring goals.
Rich, you don't want to rack up your phone bill. Anything you want to add at the end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, for me, it's just sad because you see two, on paperwork, great forwards. And we should be banging the balls in the back of the net now. And Klopp must be busting his glasses and jumping all over the place and booming everywhere because it's just not happening up front, is it? You know, you look at them and you go, where did the goals going to come from? They're not going to come from these two. I'm sorry. And Sturridge, you know, he needs to go and see a shrink. Something is wrong with Sturridge. I can't, you know, I watch him week in, week out. All right, I'm missing a few games because I'm over in New Zealand now. First time I've missed so many games in my life. But, you know, he's such a frustrating player. Sometimes I want to put my fist through the window and say to him, hey, mate, do you realise you're playing for Liverpool Football Club and you're playing for some of the best fans in the world? Sort yourself out. Yep.
And the lines just got. Richie, have a great time in New Zealand. Hopefully you chill out and get a bit of peace when you come back.
We should get paid for counselling, shouldn't we?
I'm sorry for Richie's over-exuberance with, if anyone was perhaps offended by the word he
wasn't
used.
Too bad. You just can't say
I think he'd gone on a holiday to chill, but he can't chill, can he? He's absolutely fired up.
Frustration was coming out there.
All right, let's see if Paul in McGull is chilled out. Hiya, Paul.
I had all done with you, the councillor, mate, I need you.
Paul, are you red or blue, mate?
Oh, have a guess.
Sharpie's all ears, pal.
I know, Graeme, I've spoke to you previously and said it, mate.
Yeah.
If ever there was a time to manage a game, and that Bournemouth 2-0 victory in the Cup when he come off after the end of the game and said it was probably one of our worst performances.
Mm.
Yeah, but get results.
Yeah.
And I heard a stat today which absolutely terrified me. Six times this season we've been 2-0 up and haven't won a game.
Yeah.
That is, you know, but somebody also said that it's mirrored image of what he did when he got relegated with Wigan. His home form was absolutely disastrous. As you well know, Sharpie, I back Roberto to the hilt, but the patience is gone, mate. He's got to learn to manage. He's got to learn to, I mean, the substitutions, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. The Sunday league manager could just turn around and said, put Gareth Barry in, let's lock up what we've got, let's protect what we've got. If you sneak one, we can still have a little thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's beggars belief, mate. Mm. It absolutely beggars belief.
Mm.
And I don't like to call for anyone's head, but if this new fella's looking now, there's absolutely no chances, do you know what I mean? He's going to see somebody there who can't cater for what we need. Okay, we're playing attractive football, but we're losing games.
But Paul, don't you think, Paul, listen, I agree with you there, whatever you said there, but don't you think that, I know, listen, the buck always stops with the manager, always has done, always will do, but don't you think it's, you know, I know we're going harking on about the old days and everything else, but surely, to goodness, if you're in the dressing room and you've just lost that game 3-2, surely, goodness, one, you're not happy, you're shouting and bawling and pulling your teammates up and everything else. For me, as John said to one of the previous callers, the players have got to take responsibility to say, right, listen, I don't care. We're 2-0 up here. Okay, we're 2-1 up. Listen, you ain't going forward. You come in here. You protect me at left back. You stop the cross. I just don't see, you know, when things are going against us, that we have too many leaders on the pitch to roll up their sleeves and say, listen, we're seeing this out. We're going to throw ourselves in front of things. I don't see too many of that. I still think we're still trying to score and win the, and score another couple of goals when we should just say, listen, let's put this to bed. A prime example, and I'm not for 1 minute saying, Tony Pulis. Do you think Tony Pulis would have lost that game if we were 2-0 up?
1,000,000%, mate. Yeah. I totally agree with you, Sharpie, but and where you're saying that, that is 100% right, but the last little snippet you put on there was, we're going attacking. Why are we going attacking?
Yeah.
Because that's being instilled by the manager. Do you know what I mean? Because you... Sorry, Eldon.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, I totally agree with you. I mean, I just think in the modern game now, there's not the leaders. I remember when I'm 52 and watching all the teams over the years, good teams, bad teams and all that. You get 11 screamers on the park helping each other out. Now you don't. You go and watch kids' footy. I've managed kids' footy teams now. You're lucky if you get one talking. And that's going to come through and that's going to breed through. Unfortunately, we're the wrong generation.
It's totally... But do you know what you said? Do you know what you said there? That's a real damning stat. That's happened six times for Everton to do that in one season. Now, when it happens once, you learn by your mistakes. When it happens twice, you go, hey, come on, sort this out. Six times. Now, that is shocking. It's really, really shocking. You know, you learn and you try to eradicate that some way or form, whether it's the manager or whoever. You know, it's not, and a book stops with the manager. You can't let that happen, you know. Twice is bad enough. Three times is minging. Six times. That's poor, that. That's really
but we've got the personnel. That's the thing which really annoys me. We've got the personnel to deal with. I mean, another thing, I was just thinking, outside the box sort of thing on Saturday, John Stones, the substitution with Bezic made sense. I'll give Martinez his due on that. That did make sense, you know what I mean, the shape. But why not step John Stones into the centre defensive midfielder? Do you know what I mean? That could have been a shot because he's a defender first and foremost, plus he's composed on the ball. These are just little thoughts, you know. It's easy in hindsight after the event. I know that, I appreciate that, but we've just got to learn to, I mean, the other thing, who's the lad who scored the first goal? Antonio, the one from Forest. Did you hear his interview after the game? And he turned around, he goes, we've been watching videos. Everton have got a weak link, go anything directed into the box. Oh my god, every other team knows that. Why can't we see it?
Paul, very, very quickly, would you change? I know he went with three centre-backs, and listen, for 75 minutes it was good. Everything was good about it, even with 10 men. Morales getting sent off, it was good. Do you think it's time to bring back Leighton Baines?
Yeah, but I think there's an underlying issue there, mate. I think that Baines, I mean, no disrespect to the lad, because I love the bones of him, but he's looking like he's carrying a few pounds, and he can only lose those pounds, obviously, when he's playing. Do you know what I mean? And match fitness is the most important thing. And I think, it's a tricky one. If you'd asked me a few months ago, I would have said, yeah, he's got to go straight in there on Saturday. But if he's not 100% mentally fit and physically fit, it could be a little bit of a risk. And you know, with Chelsea, they could, like, because Chelsea have done it in the past where these directors, when even going back to that, it was a Kalou or whatever, they put him against Leighton a few times, didn't they, and just did the diags. And he got kippered every time in the air. You know what I mean? Because obviously his height, do the same with Seamus, the diags, they work. But Baines is invaluable. You know what I mean? He's totally invaluable. Yes, I'd like to see it, but not necessarily this week. You know what I mean? If the league games now, as Aldo said before, the Europa's gone. So now what we've got to do is not experiment, but let's go at what we're seriously looking at starting with next season, if you wish.
Nice one, Paul. Thank you very much indeed, pal.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, Paul.
Let's just preview, of course, Liverpool Man United on Thursday.
Huge.
It's massive. More than just pride, isn't it? It's more than just local rivalry. What's at stake?
Worldwide, you know, it's in Europe, first time ever. You know, with the fans that the two of them have got globally, the clubs, it's a big statement to whoever goes through. You know, you look at Man United, they beat us last four times, and, you know, it's the worst Man United side that's beat us that I've watched. I really mean that. They're pretty shocking.
Yeah. They looked at them Saturday.
Yeah,
you're not a massive fan of Rashford at the moment, are you? Whilst all the papers
wrong,
going off on
that's
one.
That's wrong. The boy's done really, really well, and hats off to him. Mm. But when the weekend was a different game. He was up against Olsen, Dawson, McCauley, people who were big, strong, physical, you know, defenders. And it was too much for him. And they went down to 10 men, so he was pushed a little bit to the left. Mm. It wasn't his position.
Yeah. People have watched him as well.
Yeah, the kids came in. The kid's not the finished article, not by a long way. He's had a fantastic start. But I think if Man United are holding the hat on him, no. I think the big players have got to step up. But being Liverpool, watching Manchester United and watching Liverpool the weekend, at home you'd say Liverpool have got to be favourites.
I agree. I fancy more away from it. I think it's imperative Liverpool to win to nil. Don't give them an away goal. Mm. 1-0's a really good result. 2-0's, excellent. 0-0's not the end of the world because they're not the best. Mm. You know, it's not when you go to Old Trafford now. You used to be quaking in your boots knowing that you've got them coming from all directions like the Red Arrows. Mm. It's not like that now with this new manager. And
not really seen a proper Liverpool Man United tussle for a little bit, have we?
No. No homegrown players in either team now when you look at them, really. But hey, I think it's 50-50 whoever goes through, because I'm just hoping that we've just got a little bit of something going the last few games, and won the last three league games, and obviously we took City all the way. And the team looks fit. They look really fit. Mm. And, they got the bit between the teeth. I think that Manchester City game last week was a proper big boost at Anfield, which we need, because we haven't been able to score goals. We struggle at Anfield. Mm. And Rooney's not playing. I'm so delighted about that, because he has been a bit of a pain in our backside and won the game out of nothing the last time we played him.
Tasty 7 days ahead. The Chelsea game for Everton as well. There's a lot of hinging
week for
Merseyside, isn't it?
Big week for both teams, yeah.
Chelsea's a big one, as people saying it's the last chance saloon, and it's important they bounce back from the defeat.
Okay, thanks for all your calls tonight. Wouldn't happen without you guys out there. Thanks to Aldo and Sharpie as well. The guys will be back on Friday for another Legends, and we'll see you then.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.